No, that's fine. You sound normal.
So, there's no point even trying to do that joke again, because it would just wouldn't work.
Do any of your jokes work?
Cheeky bastard.
Oh, dearie dear. Right, okay. What else was I going to say? There was something else I was going to tell you.
Pardon.
Fuck, I can't mind. No. It'll come back to me.
Couldn't have been important.
No. It's me you're talking about.
In fact, it wasn't, because he was a diving bastard in that one.
I know, he was. Definitely.
And then for the second game in a row, sorry to say that again. This is what happens when you leave it too long. I can't remember what fucking happened. And then just after that move there, for the second game in a row, for the third time in a row, try this.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Manchester, brace yourself.
Hi everyone, and welcome to what is the last episode of Season 6 of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm very well, mate. How's yourself?
I'm very well too, just kind of glad the season's over in a way. It's been a long season, a fairly successful one if you look at it that way. Certainly can't have too much complaints of the season. Obviously no silverware, but there's a lot of positives to take out of it, isn't there?
Definite improvements, Derek. We must say we had a fantastic run in Europe, which I think is probably the highlight of the season. Disappointment in the Cups, I've got to say, so it's probably the biggest disappointment. I was, you know, at least hoping that we would get to a final this year. That wasn't to be, unfortunately, but definite improvements in the league. And finished, you know, the season fairly well. I'm sure we're going to go into the last game of the season, which I'm not going to really read too much into.
Put it this way, I'm not going to read too much into it either, because I never wrote any notes for it, because I couldn't be bothered.
Right. No, it's been there's been a definite improvement. All the yahoos out there that said that there's no been any improvement, there's something far wrong with them, because we've all seen it. You know, there has been a lot of frustrating matches, but certainly nothing like we've been watching over the last few seasons, Derek. So it's just a matter of Steven Gerrard being able to keep that squad together and add some more quality to it. Maybe get rid of a few players that haven't really been pulling their weight, but only time will tell on that one, Derek.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that anyway. So we've got two games to cover anyway tonight. Obviously, the great win against Celtic, and as I said, I've never really taken any notes of this. I was trying to look after a toddler as well as watch the game and take notes, and it just wasn't happening at the time for the Killie game, but not a lot to write home about that game anyway, was there? So
good job. I watched it, Derek, yeah.
So we'll go down the tunnel for the last time this season and onto the pitch. So obviously the first game we've got to talk about is the Celtic game, which was Sunday the 12th of May. It was a 2-0 victory at home. We lined up Fotheringham, Tavernier, Goldson, Katic, Flanagan, Davis, Jack, Kamara, Kent, Arfield and Defoe. On the subs bench we had Firth, Worrell, Halliday, McCrory, Morelis, Candias and Barisic. Now obviously no McGregor, as he got served a 3-match ban for his kick out in the Hibs game. Means he's going to miss the first game of next season also. And obviously one of the big talking points was going to be, would Morelis come back straight back into the team after serving his 4-game ban? And obviously the answer was no, he started on the bench.
No, I think that was the sensible thing to do, Derek. The team had been playing fantastic, let's be honest. He really had to keep a sort of winning team together, and I'm glad he did.
It's one of the first times where I always prefer being the underdog going into these games. And you know, they say that the form book normally goes out the window, and to a large degree that's true. But you know, there was something about this game where Celtic were just not playing well. We were playing great, and the form book stayed the same because we were brilliant in this game.
Supremely confident, Derek, I think, from the start. We all were, which is usually, you know, a bad thing, isn't it? Because we're never usually confident at any Old Firm game, really. But we certainly were this time.
I mean, that's one thing we've got to get rid of as well, that the lack of confidence going into these games, both as a team and as a support. And I think that game in December, that got the hoodoo off the back. And, you know, in large parts of the game at Parkhead, like a month ago, you know, we were by far the better team and were unlucky not to come away from that game with any points. So, just obviously we weren't going to do, it was never going to happen from the off, and I don't know why there was a big stooshy about it, but a guard of honour, that got kiboshed by the club, quite rightly so. And also, Ewan, Cameron, Grado and Ant Middleton were in hospitality for the game as well.
Oh, I never knew that one, Derek. I've seen a lot of the tweets with Ewan, Cameron and Grado and everybody else, of course, sort of making it that Ewan Cameron's a Rangers supporter and things like that. I'd seen all that, but I didn't know that they were on in the hospitality.
So we started off pretty fast pace already. On the first minute, Kent robs the ball off Lustig on the left hand side, drives the ball forward, and he got fouled 20 yards from the goal on the left hand side. And little did we know what was going to come next. On the second minute, we went 1-0 up with Tavernier. Tavernier floated the ball into the back post. It misses everyone, and it went right into the bottom corner. It was one of these ones where it was a case of float it into the back post area. If somebody gets their head on it or a foot on it, great. But it always leaves it open for this to happen. And I don't even think I'd bounced before it hit the line. I think it actually bounced just as it went over the line, and the keeper was absolutely stranded. Fantastic goal.
No, it was excellent, Derek. As you say, it was one of those ones that it didn't matter what happened, it looked as if that ball was going to, you know, end up in the back of the net. It whipped it in with pace and accuracy. And as you say, I think it was meant just to sort of get, you know, somebody get a touch on it at the back post, but it didn't need it because he hit it so well. And a fantastic start to the game for us. And really, we didn't look back for there.
No, absolutely not. And then we kept on playing very well. And on the 17th minute, there was good build-up play, starting with Kent cutting in, knocked it around the Celtic box, ending the ball going to Defoe, and shoots a stinging effort, but right at the keeper. However, he had to take two attempts at it.
I actually thought that he had scored that one, Derek. As you say, it was like right at the goalkeeper, wasn't it?
Yeah. Celtic really from there went right up the park, and they had a shot at the edge of our box, but it went well over the bar. 19th minute, some lovely play and control by Kent. Lovely one-touch play, ending with the ball getting fed to Defoe again. Tried to take the ball round the player, tries to hurdle the defender and goes down in the box. Claims for a penalty, but not given quite correctly, in my opinion.
Yep.
On the 34th minute, Kent shot from 35 yards on the left-hand side after a great first touch. On the 45th minute, it was a long ball up to Defoe on the left side. Defoe heads it down to Kent. Kent drives it forward and could have passed the Arfield in the box, but he kept on going, eventually played in. Arfield tries to take a touch and got a shot off, but the keeper comes out and helped parry the ball away for the corner.
Yeah.
Just constant pressure all the time.
Yep.
A lot of the play coming from Kent once again.
Yeah, I was desperate for us to get another one before half-time, Derek. I really was, because, you know, when you're in the ascendancy like that, just before half-time, that would have killed the game then and there, and it was just really unlucky. But as you say, it was just all one-way traffic, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And just after that move there, for the second Old Firm game in a row, Lustig had to walk off the park injured. He bottled it once again by the look of it, didn't he?
It's been said in some of the other podcasts, Derek, and they're right. He is absolutely terrified of Ryan Kent. Absolutely terrified. Every single time that Kent got the ball, he was right on top of him, and he did not know which way to turn. He was getting turned left and right. He could not get anywhere near him, and he shat at Derek, and he went off pretending, he's feigning an injury, and everybody knows there was nothing wrong with him, but he just could not handle it. It was a joy to see, actually. It really was.
Yep. And just after that, in the 46th minute, it was a corner whipped into the middle of the box. Goldson gets a good header to it, but it went just over the bar. And then there, the first half ended, but really can't have any complaints. Certainly it was a brilliant first half, dominated the play, forcing Celtic back all the time into making mistakes, much like we'd done in the game in December. Maybe probably didn't play with as much intensity as that game, mind you, and we did invite Celtic to come and play at us on occasion, but you know, we still dominated the game.
What I'll say, Derek, is there wasn't as much pressure, but I would say that we were using the ball a lot better in this game and controlling the game a lot more. The first game at Ibrox was just don't let them play, get in their faces, make sure they don't get the ball. If we lose the ball, win it back as quickly as possible. Whereas in this game, it was, oh well, you know, you can have more of the ball because, you know, you're not going to do anything. We're going to get the ball and we're going to play it all, you know, past you. And that's what they did. They completely controlled that game, the whole game. Celtic didn't have a chance. So I was actually happier with the way that we played in this game than I was in the first game, because I do think that we played a lot better football in this match.
Quite possibly. I mean, that's a good point. I mean, certainly our passing was passing and forward play had been absolutely outstanding at times in this game. Very crisp and quick. Katic had been absolutely outstanding.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we were going after Celtic, going after the ball, we're hunting in packs and not allowing Celtic any time in the ball. So it was great to see in that half.
Yes, definitely.
So, second half wanted more of the same, if not better, and largely we got it. Just after kickoff, there was an absolutely outstanding challenge in the middle of the park by Flanagan, completely fully committed right through the player and got the full ball as well. And him in the last kind of six games was just absolutely outstanding.
He was brilliant in this game, Derek, to be fair to him. And as you say, his tackling was just, it was so hard, but fair, if you know what I mean. There was no, you know, there could be no complaints by the opposition players, because as you say, he was winning the ball clearly, but he was also taking his man and going right through it. And we've been missing that. We really have. I thought it was brilliant, Derek, and that tackle in particular was just, he absolutely went right through the man. But the fact that he got the ball first, it was brilliant. It really was.
Yeah, I mean, from brilliant play to absolute stupidity from the same man. There was a corner about to be taken by Celtic, and Flanagan and Brown clashed in the box. Now it did look as if Flanagan flailed his arm out deliberately at Brown in the box, and as usual, Brown went down like a sack of spuds. Mm-hmm. That he is. The referee seen it and gave a yellow. So you would have thought, well, you know, that's the referee dealt with it. And, you know, I think he was quite lucky to stay on the pitch, because I think to a man, every Rangers fan had said that, yeah, that's a red card. And you couldn't have any complaints if he was given a red card, because it was a bit of a moment of stupidity. Mm-hmm. Embellished by Brown, absolutely, but you have to be wary of these things, just like Morelos was in the last Old Firm game. The funny thing is, the corner was about to be taken, it hadn't been kicked yet, yet Tam McManus claimed it should have been a penalty as well.
Well, you know, ex-professional Derek, you know, he should know.
He should, yeah. This is the level of punditry you've got here, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly.
So Mick obviously got to count herself lucky with that one, and we will get into the compliance officer issues at the end of this. But on the 59th minute, there was a lovely move down the right, played to Kent in the box, who had a back heel flick to try and get it to Arfield, but it was just too short and the defender got to it. Very, very inventive play from Kent and Arfield there.
Yeah.
61st minute, there was three corners for us in quick succession. The third one was into the middle of the 6-yard box. The Celtic keeper punches it away. It was in the air, out to Flanagan, who has a header just over the bar.
Yep.
2 minutes later, though, we went 2-0 up, and that really sealed the game for us. And it was Scott Arfield scoring. There was a throw-in in the middle of the pitch, comes to Kamara, lovely drop of the shoulder, and turns Brown, takes the ball forward, passes into the middle of the box. Defoe does a great dummy through his legs, comes to Arfield, who just touches it around the keeper and shoots it into the back of net. Just what a goal that was.
Derek, dare I say it, goal of the season, in my opinion.
Spoilers for later on, then.
I know, but it was, as I say, we'll go over, you know, everything. And I think before this game, we all had our favourite goals, but just everything going by Kamara's movement, first of all, he didn't just take Brown out of the game, Derek. He took about three players all out with one movement. I thought Kamara was absolutely outstanding in the game, by the way. He took the ball, he just looked supremely confident. He basically made the Celtic midfield look like complete amateurs. It was fantastic. And he played the ball through. But Derek, how on earth does Jermaine Defoe know where Scott Arfield is? I've watched this back, I don't know how many times, this goal, and I can't even see Defoe having a quick look round to see where Arfield is. It's as if he just knew that there would be somebody there. But the vision for Defoe just, you know, by doing that is absolutely, it's sheer class, Derek. It took all of the defence out, but Arfield just knew that it was happening for some reason, and you know, the control and the shot, the goal was just absolutely sensational, Derek. Sensational. You'll not see a better goal than that in anywhere. It was fantastic, the play. Absolutely brilliant, and it's a goal that I could sit and watch over and over again. I have actually sat and watched it over and over again. The movement, the pass, the awareness, the finish, everything, it was absolutely brilliant.
I mean, your point about Defoe there is he was brought up here as a goal machine. You know, he's one of the best scorers in the English Premiership of all time. And there's been a few times this season, especially, where he's done stuff out of the ordinary in terms of his vision, him, you know, making a pass to someone to play them on. I think it was for Arfield to score a hat-trick before that Gerrard couldn't believe he actually passed to him. And this is an element of his game that he's bringing in to playing with us that nobody expected. And as you said, it's you know, how did they even see it? It just must be, you know, striker's instinct to see and know about the what players are where in the park.
It was incredible. Celtic couldn't handle Arfield all afternoon either, Derek, just his all-round play. And as I say, that finish by Arfield was fantastic, and the celebration as well. Celebration was tremendous. He's a run and his salute to the fans, and then the picture that was taken of the supporter standing saluting him back as well. It was brilliant. It brought the goosebumps are out every single time that I've watched it back since. It was just, and I think just the whole, it was just confidence, Derek, wasn't it? I think, you know, every player out there in that field knew that we had done them over, and we knew that the hoodoo was finished with them, and you know, there was nothing to fear. I think that game, that result is going to be massive for us for next season. I really do.
Yeah. So we kept on banging on, and on the 67th minute, Brown brings down Kent on the edge of the box in a dangerous area on the left-hand side. Tavernier has a free kick that goes through the wall, but Bain ended up making a comfortable save. 77th minute, there was great work in midfield to win the ball back. Ends in a 3-2 in our favour. Ball passed to Defoe on the left-hand side of the box. Hits a great shot and forces a great save from the keeper. Comes back out to Defoe, who tried to cross the ball in. Flicks up off the defender and then off the top of the bar. False to our player on the right-hand side, but couldn't get the shot off or the pass off, and the ball cleared by the defender. Unlucky again there.
Yeah, yep, definitely, yep.
79th minute, Defoe came off and Morelos came on. In the 80th minute, it was a cross from Celtic on the left that was gathered by Fotheringham. That was literally the first thing, other than a pass back from our players, that Fotheringham had to do from a Celtic point of view. 82nd minute, Arfield came off and Candeias came on. And 83rd minute, Celtic had their first shot on target all game. That says it all for me. And unbelievably, though, it was a great save from Fotheringham. Celtic had a long ball knocked down on the left-hand side. Katic comes across, loses out. The ball was cut back to the centre. It was more or less an empty net and an extremely poor finish by Oliver Burke. And Fotheringham manages to get it back across the goal and make a save, an outstanding save. Poor finish. He should have shot it on his right-hand side rather than down the middle, but it was great by Fotheringham nonetheless.
Delighted for Fotheringham as well, Derek, because, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the first game that the Fotheringham's played against Celtic that he's had a clean sheet?
Would have been, aye, yeah.
So, you know, absolutely delighted for him because, you know, we all know that he's our second choice goalkeeper, but I mean, he has been on the end of some hammerings for them over the last few seasons. So, absolutely delighted for him. But again, sheer confidence right the way through the team, Derek.
Yep, absolutely. On the 86th minute, there was a quick break down the left, knocked back out to Morelos to Kent, who had a shot from 25 yards, a daisy cutter just by the left of the post. And the last point of the game is on the 89th minute, Davis came off and McCrory came on. To a man, you can't fault them, can you?
No, definitely not, Derek. It was a great performance, start to finish. Like we've said already, completely controlled, completely dominated. We did allow Celtic to have more of the ball, but our team was so good that they just couldn't do anything with it. We were winning the ball back at ease, you know, and then just the icing on the cake was that goal, Derek. I keep going on about it, but it's absolutely sensational. It really is.
Yep. So it wasn't. It never ended there, though, in terms of this game because of the fallout that happened with the compliance officer. Now, we've seen it before that if a referee has made a decision in the game, regardless if he's got it wrong or not, he's made a decision, given the card, and nothing can be done about it. Not this season, because quite clearly, obviously, a Hibs player got a retrospective red card from an already dealt with incident on the park, and the compliance officer was at it again, and she tried to give Flanagan a retrospective two-game ban for his elbow. Now, again, it wasn't an elbow, it was more of a shoulder. It never hit him in the face. Again, though, it was probably a red card on the day, but the referee had made that decision. But unknown to me, because I never seen it, I know other people did at the time, Simunovic had an elbow in the face of Defoe as well.
Yes.
So there was nothing given to that in the game.
No, nothing at all. Yep.
So apparently, both were reviewed by the compliance officer. The compliance officer puts it to the panel, the Flanagan incident to the panel, but not the Simunovic one.
Yep, surprise, surprise. Yeah.
So, quite rightly, Rangers issued a strong-worded statement, basically calling into question the integrity of both the process and the compliance officer. I'm actually amazed we've never been hit with any sort of charge by that.
Yeah.
And obviously, Rangers appealed the two-game ban for Flanagan, and we won it.
Yeah. Much to the delight of every Celtic fan out there.
So this is what doesn't really ring right to me. The referee on the day has refereed the incident and dealt with it. The compliance officer has then reviewed the incident and decided to refer that to a three referee panel who've decided to give him a two-game ban. We've appealed, it's went to another three referee panel who've said, no, it's been dealt with, it's not worthy of a two-game ban.
Yes. So what was the point, really?
Yeah.
Was the point?
And what is the most incredulous thing about this, and you would think that's, you know, amazing already, is that in the same week, all the latest revelations about Celtic child abuse scandal coming out, Celtic had funnily enough stayed quiet all about this, but as soon as the fact that Rangers had won the appeal for the Flanagan ban, they released a statement saying that it's a huge embarrassment for Scottish football.
deflect, Derek.
Rearrange these following words. Couldn't mark blowtorch.
Exactly. I'm sure we'll get into this as well later on, Derek, but it just shows you what a complete farce the whole thing is. It's just show that there is an agenda out there, and thankfully somebody had some actual sense in the end to say, no, it has been dealt with, so, you know, we can move on for there. But I was pleased that Rangers put the statement out, Derek, because we've all been thinking it for a long time, haven't we? And, you know, we'll wait and see what happens. But like you, I'm very surprised that we've not been hit with any kind of, you know, ban or sanction or something for putting that out there. But I was pleased that they did release that statement at the time.
Yeah, just something has to change in this closed season in terms of the compliance officer. It's quite clearly there is an agenda now with the Celtic-minded compliance officer. Now, bearing in mind, you know, it's probably been put in for good reason in terms of well intention, you know, to try and alleviate some of the issues. But when you've got the complaints officer being put in place initially because of Celtic having issues with the referees, it's basically a Celtic-minded compliance officer who then quit under dubious circumstances, who was allowed to choose another their own successor, which was another Celtic-minded one, which, again, dubious circumstances, quit, was allowed to choose their own one. And again, we've got a Celtic fan who is a lawyer. Not the fact that she's a woman, it's the fact that she's a lawyer, not a football person, making these decisions, and completely wrong ones, as it were. And as somebody else in one of the other podcasts said, is that the rule book, I don't think, specifically says you're not meant to re-referee games. So she's maybe taken that as part of a case of, well, it doesn't say, well, I'm not allowed to, so, you know, let's try and test it here. And more often than not, it's been came to fruition that she's been allowed to do whatever she's wanted.
I think, Derek, if it was more unbiased, you know, all these decisions that were coming out and it was well spread, but let's be honest, it must be about 80% of these decisions that are made are all against us. You know, there's the odd one here and there, but the vast majority all seems to be targeted at us. So, as you say, something's got to change soon. So, you know, there's got to be sense seen somewhere. You know, very, very soon, because we can't have another season like this. It just seems to go on and on and on.
Well, I mean, there's two Old Firm games, because we talked about it in the last podcast as well, about Scott Brown's ban, or Scott Brown getting referred to the compliance officer. Celtic's first in God knows how many years since it actually came into force, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, got found no case to answer.
Yeah.
Funny that. Whereas two incidents very similar in this game here, we're the only ones that were facing a ban. You know, very similar instance.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, anyway, moving on there. So, obviously, that made the gap at that point 6 points, and that would have been absolutely delighted with that one at that point. But, obviously, last game going into now, which was the 2-1 loss away to Kilmarnock on Sunday the 19th of May. Now, we did make 5 changes to this game.
Yeah.
We lined up Fotheringham, Flanagan, Goldson, Worrell, Barisic, Kamara, Jack, Halliday, Candeas, Morelos and Kent. On the subs bench, we had Firth, Defoe, Dorans, McCrory, Koulibaly, Middleton and Mabudi.
Now, Derek, before I saw the game, I had a sneaky suspicion that this wasn't going to be our day. As soon as I heard the manager and the, you know, speaking to the press and letting them know that we were going to be without certain players and players being allowed to go away early on holiday because of international commitments and stuff like that, I just had a feeling that this was it's the end of season, lads. You beat Celtic last week. You know, which is, I'm not saying that the attitude wasn't right, but I just have a feeling that the players had, you know, had kind of said, oh, it's the end of the season, we can't wait to get away on holiday. And going into what we faced with Kilmarnock and it being his last game in charge of Kilmarnock and what was at stake for Kilmarnock as well, I just had a feeling it wasn't going to go our way, Derek. I just thought that we weren't going to get anything out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these things where you can, as you said, can understand why players were told to go on holiday early, especially like a Tavernier. You know, he's played, 60 games this year or something like that, something ridiculous. You know, we've got our pre-season is going to start very shortly, obviously, and, you know, our first European game will be at the end of July, I think. I'm not too sure if we'll have any other games before then. I think the season proper will maybe start in August. I'm not too sure about that yet. But, you know, it comes around very quickly, and certainly if last season's pre-season was then to go by, as well as the training in Tenerife and the winter break there, it's going to be quite intense. So they're going to need rest, especially after a grueling season like this one. So, and as you said, Kilmarnock had everything to play for.
Yes.
European place up for grabs. We had nothing to play for, so take it with a pinch of salt. Yeah, we're Rangers, we should be winning every game, but there's sometimes, you know, the well-being of players and is a wee bit more pressing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. What have you got anything to say about the match at all, Derek?
It was a bit of a drab affair from our point of view. Certainly early on, Defoe made the keeper pull off a good save and the rebound came out to Candeas, who on the edge of the box hit a half volley and he smashed the bar. That would have been, you know, that was really unlucky. Would have changed the game, I think.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then on the 9th minute, we lost a really, you know, poor goal to lose. It was a long ball over the top of our defence. Comes right to Burke on the right-hand side, who controls it, gets it into the box and shoots past Fordingham. Poor goal to lose. Again, it was a marking at fault there, I would have said.
Yeah, very poor goal to lose, actually, Derek, considering how, you know, how well our defence had been playing recently. For him to be able to just go stin like that and get the shot away, I didn't even think the shot was that great either, to be perfectly honest with you. So, no, a very, very poor goal to lose by our point.
And ultimately, I found that it's when Worrell comes into the team, he unsettles that balance. We were never doing, you know, you look at these six games, I think we lost one goal in total. You know, this point, and you know, we weren't letting away stupid goals, we were closing down players, we were marking properly, and just seems to be something with Worrell. He made the defence go to pieces. My opinion, obviously, there's probably other factors at play there, but you know, that's the way it happened.
Yes.
We equalised on the 66th minute when Kent got down the left wing, passed to Jack in the box. Jack was actually clearly taken out, but he managed to get a pass off to Morelos first, and with his first touch, he blasted it past the keeper with his first with his left foot. Brilliant goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, superb goal, Derek. Just a bit burst of net, and significantly as well, his 30th goal of the season, which was great for him as well. I mean, that's a fantastic achievement for that to happen, and you know, phenomenal player, Derek, phenomenal striker. We all know that. We all know his problems, but I was absolutely delighted for him at that point, because that was really the first time in the game that I think we were really sort of dominating, and it was great to see the fact that we were dominating and we did manage to get that chance, and he absolutely lashed at home. It was a great goal.
Yep. Kelly actually had the ball in the back of the net a short time after that, but it was clearly offside and correctly ruled so. And then in the dying minutes of the game, I think it was on the 88th minute, there was a long ball knocked into our box. Barisic had a slight hold of Brophy. Barisic never had the best of games, as it were, but Brophy went down like he was shot, and as ever, Colin was quickly to give a penalty.
Yes.
Never a penalty in a million years for me.
No, it was, there was hardly anything in it, Derek. There was initial contact, and then as soon as Brophy knew that, you know, there was no contact, that is actually when he went down, because he knew that he was going to lose his chance. But, you know, as you say, it was a really poor decision by the referee to give it, and Kilmarnock inevitably got their penalty.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the actual, you know, penalty issue, is if you're getting held back, you don't fall forwards, do you? Which is what Brophy done. And Brophy, after the game, actually admitted he did go down easily. So I'm amazed that there's not been any retrospective action taken against him. I mean, that was given that as a penalty, but the foul on Goldson a few minutes before in the box of Kilmarnock wasn't given. And I didn't think that was a foul. But you can't give one and not give
exactly
the other.
Yeah, you know? It was exactly the same, Derek, in my opinion. It was exactly the same. But as I say, we didn't get it, and they did. So, as I say, I was basically just sitting waiting. Even when Morelos scored and we were starting to play better, I still just had, just the way that things were going, I thought Kilmarnock was going to get some decision going their way, because they were getting all the wee niggly decisions constantly, and I wasn't surprised, to be perfectly honest with you. I was raging right enough that he gave it, but I wasn't surprised.
No. So, we ended the season with a loss, obviously Kilmarnock getting the win, and that put them into third spot in Europe. And, you know, I said to a Kilmarnock supporting workmate that I did at the start of the season, and he had to remind me of this, that because we're talking about Aberdeen at the time, I said Kilmarnock will finish ahead of Aberdeen, and duly they did. So, as, you know, what's his chops, Derek Bottler McInnes came away with or refused to admit when Kashina was in charge, is that it comes in cycles. So
yeah, it certainly does, and I think Aberdeen are going to struggle next season as well, Derek, because the amount of their team who are all coming to the end of their contracts. They're losing their captain as well, which is going to be a big miss for them also. So I think it's going to be another season of struggling for Aberdeen, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. So we ended up the season, played 38, won 23, drew 9, lost 6, scored 82, conceded 27, goal difference plus 55 and points 78. Finished, ended up 9 behind Celtic and 11 ahead of Killie and Aberdeen. So we were, you know, for those who don't think we improved this year, you just need to look at, one, the style of play we were playing. Some of it was absolutely outstanding. I mean, there was some one-touch play up the park, down the park. It was brilliant to watch sometimes. Especially, I mean, the game me and you went to at Dundee, when we played Dundee. I know it was only Dundee who were woeful this season, but we were playing some outstanding football that game.
Yep.
We finished second instead of third. We were closer to Celtic. We beat Celtic twice. And yes. We've been the better team in 45 minutes of one of the other game. We had got more points than last season, more goals, conceded less, a great European run. You know, yes, the Cups are a disappointment. You know, we would at least like to get to the final of both of them, as you said. But, you know, what can we say? It's been a very successful season. Certainly next season, that's the tough one. We've got to do it next year. At least get some sort of silverware.
Yeah, it was... Like I said, Derek, I think the draws inevitably killed our title challenge off as well. You know, it's a lot of draws in there. Even going back to the first game of the season when we really should have beat Aberdeen, certain other games as well, which you know annoyed us. You know, getting beat by Dundee, getting beat by Livingston when really we shouldn't have done that, but. Got to look at the positives. Beating Celtic twice was excellent. You know, and I think we've beat every other team at some point this season. We struggled majorly against Kilmarnock this season, which you know, again is very disappointing. But like we've said already, and you've just said there, the fact that we didn't even get into a cup final, that was the biggest one for me. I thought for us finishing second this year and getting to at least one cup final, you know, that would have been excellent, but unfortunately it wasn't to be. But delighted for Morelos, because I think he's been outstanding considering the amount of games that he's missed because of discipline problems and things like that. It shows you how much a quality striker he was, and if he was on the field for, you know, if he didn't miss any games, Derek, how many goals would he actually be on at the end of this season? It was excellent. You've got to say Ryan Kent, you know, there's not a lot of lone players that things work out, but Kent's been absolutely sensational, so has Scott Arfield.
Well, I'm going to stop you right there, Derek, because you're going into your next section here. So I did send you a text before we done this a couple of weeks ago, just to say, give me your player of the season, goal of the season, game of the season, your red card of the season.
I've still to get into that though. I'm just there. It's fine. That's
and your Kerry feel of the season as well.
Right. Okay. So, what do you want me to start with then, Derek?
Right. I would say player of the season, because you were starting to summarise players there. So, give me your player of the season.
I am going to go. I think I've got to go with Alfredo Morelos, Derek. Like we've said, we all know he's got some major discipline problems. He needs to calm down. He needs to stop getting involved. But I think the guy's absolutely tremendous. I think he's a phenomenal striker. I think he's the best striker that we've had in this Rangers team since the likes of Nikita Jelovic. And he's still only 22 years old. Whether or not he's going to be there next season, I will be very surprised if he is. I think there'll be a lot of teams sniffing about him. I think there'll be some bids will be put in for him. But for last season, I think he's been brilliant. And he's been the sort of superstar player that we've been looking for. You know, he's the player that all the young boys and girls out there want to have on the back of their tops. He's the one player that they all look out for. He's the one player that, you know, if kids are playing FIFA or whatever, they're wanting Morelos, or they're wanting, you know, that's the player that they want to try and get, or they're trying to emulate on the field. Some of the goals he's scored have been absolutely sensational. They really have. So, in my opinion, I would give it to Morelos. Like I said in my previous statement, there has been, you know, other players who have been fantastic as well. But if I really have to go for it, I would have to give
player of the season to Morelos. What about yourself, Derek?
It's a tough one, isn't it? Because as you were saying there about Kent, he's came up and he's been brilliant. He's been probably the best, most successful loan player we've had in some time. But I think every single player who's a candidate, there've been failures in them as well. But I have to agree, you've got to go out to someone who scored 30 goals this season, Morelos.
Yes.
You know, you would be, as again you said, how many more goals would the City scored if he hadn't missed?
Exactly.
How many games did he miss? That must have been 7, 8, 9 games.
Exactly, and he still scored 30 goals, Derek. So I think the manager has got a tough, a tough decision to make as to what he does, because there's been a few times where you've seen that the manager has basically had enough of him, but then again he comes in there at the end of the season when there's nothing to play and scores again, Derek. Do you know what I mean? So he's we just all wish that he would get a grip himself, don't we, and not get involved in stuff and just concentrate and playing. But it's disappointing that he can't, and he's still doing it. But as I say, he's just a phenomenal player, Derek, and it's one of these things. Do you prepare yourself for the fact that he's going to miss games and still keep him because you know that he's guaranteed to score, you know, goals galore? It's a problem we've got. I really hope he brings in some sort of sports psychologist or something like that to get to the bottom of his, his problems. But who knows? That would maybe make him less effective than he is, Derek. You know, it's one of these things. But I think he's a phenomenal player. I'm delighted that we've got him. He's been an incredible signing for the amount of money that we've paid for him. And regardless what happens, whether he goes and we get a lot of money for him or he stays and he scores a lot of goals, it can only be win-win with him, Derek.
I think so, but at the same time, and we said it in the last podcast, I think we're a better team without him.
Well,
yeah.
Again, this now comes down to the coaching team to add the way that the team's playing along with his goal scoring, Derek. That's now down to them to try and get both of these things working. And if they get the both of these things working, then, you know, we'll be absolutely sensational.
Yep. So, goal of the season.
There has been 4 goals for me in total that have stood out, Derek. The first goal that I can thinking back and just say, was the goal Morelos scored against Rapid Vienna, where the ball came up to Daniel Candace in the halfway line and he, you know, instinctively backheeled it. And Morelos went sprinting through and scored it to make it 3-1 to Rangers. That goal stands out for me as being a fantastic goal. The next 2 goals that I was thinking about came in the same match. Was away at Pittodrie when Alfredo Morelos scored that absolutely sublime goal for the edge of the box where he struck it with his left foot and basically curled a pass right round the goalkeeper into the bottom corner. That was just supreme finishing. It was fantastic. And then also in that game when Morelos had been sent off for, that farcical red card again, and Aberdeen were trying to put pressure on us and Tavernier broke up front. And it's the first time that we've really seen Jermaine Defoe be that sort of predator. And Tavernier found him and he basically just took one touch and then lashed it into the back of the net when he was like under pressure. That to me was a fantastic goal as well. Really, really fantastic goal, the whole build-up. But I think the goal that Scott Arfield scored against Celtic in that last Old Firm game just eclipses it all, Derek. I think it's an absolutely phenomenal goal. I've went on and on about it, so I'm not going to go on about it again. But Scott Arfield's goal against Celtic is my goal of the season.
For me, I'm doing something left field here. And funnily enough, it's a Morelos goal that was actually ruled offside. It was the goal we scored against Spartak Moscow that was ruled offside.
Which wasn't,
and it would have made it 4-2, I think it was. And
yes,
that would have put the game out of contention for me.
Yeah.
And we would have probably went through that group stage there. It was a lovely play down the right-hand side, incredible vision by Ajaria to get the ball into the far post to find Morelos. It was the most inch-perfect pass you could see, and it was probably a good 30-yard pass, and he put it back, slotted it back into the net, and, you know, it was ruled wrongly offside. So
yeah.
That was for me just an all-round team goal.
the goal that wasn't to be Derek is your goal of the season.
Yes.
You can't get much more left field than that, let's be honest.
So I'll do my game of the season. For me, it has to be the 29th of December at home to Celtic when we won 1-0. Basically just because that was breaking the hoodoo. The way we played that game, we were in their face constantly. We just never lit up, and we just absolutely ragdolled them that whole game, and it set the benchmark. And sadly, we never, you know, for the next kind of month or two, we never capitalised on that, and we allowed Celtic to pull away. But that was the benchmark that we should have been looking at the whole rest of the season. And we played out our skin, and we got rid of that hoodoo that day. Followed by the second leg against UEFA when we went down to 9 men as well. Just the resilience that team shown was just incredible that night, and obviously it put us through to the group stages as well. So that's my game of the season.
Okay. The game of the season for me, I agree with you on those two accounts, but the game that really stood out for me was our 3-1 victory against Maribor at Ibrox. And the reason that I'm picking that match is because, you know, going by our European exploits the season before, getting put out, you know, so early by an absolutely dreadful team, it was an absolute embarrassment to be paired up with a team like Maribor so early on. I didn't think there was many Rangers fans out there thought that we would progress, and we came out in the game at Ibrox and we absolutely battered them. And this is a team who not so long ago were playing in the Champions League, so, you know, high calibre European opposition, and we absolutely destroyed them at Ibrox. And at that point, Derek, that's when I kind of thought to myself, you know, this is us back now. This is us back to a standard that we're all expecting a Rangers team to be, and we all had real belief. And I just, that was just that. It was a fantastic night for me. I was actually really proud that night. The fact that we had, it was looking for a while that, you know, we really weren't going to get in and out of the game. It might have still finished 1-1, but, you know, the fact that we really put them under pressure in the second half, that's the game that I am going to say that stood out for me this season.
That's a good game. You know, mm-hmm. there's been several good games this season, and that's the frustrating thing, is we've had some outstanding performances and results with, you know, really disappointing draws and defeats. So
yeah, exactly.
Yep. Next one here I've got is red card of the season. Now I had to put this on one because we had so many. So what was your one?
I think it's more a sort of farcical one, Derek, and it was the game that I've spoke about, the game at Pittodrie when we beat Aberdeen 3-1. Alfredo Morelos getting sent off for his so-called kick out at the Aberdeen defender. I am saying the reason I'm saying this, Derek, is because in real time, and I mean real time, it was never a sending off. It was never ever a sending off, but he was basically sent off and punished. You know, we kept saying trial by sports scene. That's exactly what it was, because that incident was replayed and slowed down and shown from every single angle. It was an absolute witch hunt for Alfredo Morelos in that game, a witch hunt from all the media. And it was shocking, Derek, and it was that incident was never ever played constantly at real time. Any time that incident was shown, it was shown so slowly that it actually looked as if he did intentionally mean to go out and maim him. And when you saw it in real time, it was nothing like that whatsoever. It was an absolute disgrace. I'm still annoyed about it to this day, just with the amount of coverage that it got and the unfair coverage it got. So that, for me, is my red card farce of the season, is that one.
Mine's has to be Candace's second yellow card for blowing a kiss at Anton Fulton.
And again, Derek, in any other team, in any other season, we would have been astonished at that. But this season, we're not astonished at all, are we?
Anything was game this season when it came, yes. to, came to us in red cards. I mean, that was on par with Andy Halliday getting a yellow card and for raising his hand in celebration at her own fans
yes.
in the middle
Aye.
Of the park. But that Aye. One was just absolutely farcical. And, you know, the whole stupidity and ludicrousy of the, you know, situation, Rangers pointing out the fact that the referee's clearly made a mistake there. That's not in the rule book. The referee's obviously got it wrong. The referee disregarded Anton Ferdinand getting a Candace in a headlock just beforehand as well.
Yeah, yep, and which was worse, yep.
And then the whole disciplinary process afterwards, you know, was just farcical. You know, you could only make it up in any other country in the world, but not in Scotland, so...
Yes, exactly.
So the last one here is going to be a bit of a comedy. We've got a few to go through here, and it's our Kerry fail of the season now. In a season they've just won the triple treble, the amount of bullshit they come out with is just astonishing. It really is.
Well, we've got to say, first of all, Derek, that this is a wee tribute to whoever the people are who put the Twitter page together for the Kerry Deal meltdown, because it is now my favourite Twitter following, because I sit and read it all the time. It's absolutely hilarious. And you know, the thing is, Derek, that I'm sure that there are a few tweets which are tongue-in-cheek, but the vast majority of them I firmly believe are 100% honest.
Yep.
And I've got some absolute belters here. I've been sitting the last few days looking through for the last year and absolutely wetting myself laughing at the sheer lunacy of some of these supporters, and I've got quite a few to read out. I don't know if you want to do your ones first, Derek, or you want me to fire away?
Well, hey, that's what she said.
No, it was not.
You do one and I'll do one.
Right, okay. This is basically the aftermath of Brendan Rodgers leaving Celtic. And the first one I've got here is a tweet. Paris Saint-Germain must be raging, man. Send Wea out to work with Rodgers, and a month later, Neil Lennon will be throwing chairs at him. Absolute class, right? What's yours?
This is after the game we beat them at Ibrox in December, when Morelos had a few wee nibbles at a few people, and he had no case to answer with the compliance officer.
Yep.
Only one option for us now, and that's to phone the police on Morelos.
And do you want to know something, Derek? I bet you there was. Yes. I bet you there was actual supporters that phoned in and complained. Here's one, Derek. Just this was put out on the... It was after the game again at Ibrox, where we beat them 1-0, and it's a Celtic supporter showing a track on his playlist on his phone, obviously a very sad song, and he's put, listen to the very tune after I poured my cereal out in a huff, took my dogs out for a walk so I could cry without the Wayne seeing me.
Oh man,
absolutely brilliant. Right, go.
Baffled as to why Simunovic can't get a look in for Croatia, yet Barisic can. He's hopeless. Simunovic chose to represent Bosnia and Herzegovina in July 2017, so...
Oh, what a nightmare. Right, here's one here from the aftermath of Rangers Dundee, where Rangers were awarded 4 penalties in the one game. As everyone can guess, this bounty have caused a stir with the mob from the other side of the city, and of course this did. Andrew Dallas, the referee on the day, this is the tweet that we got, but it's actually the reply straight after it, which is absolutely priceless. So the tweet was, Andrew Dallas has awarded Sevco 6 penalties in 2 games, 4 today and 1 in another. And the reply was, 1 potato, 2 potato, 3 potato, 6.
I blame the schools.
Oh, absolutely brilliant. Right, what's your next one?
got Sevco TV on and they've mentioned Celtic three times already. Ha ha ha. Absolutely obsessed.
Oh, this sounds brilliant. Oh, it's hilarious. Right, next one. This is a belter.
Johnny Hayes, fuck off, you Deadpool looking meat prick.
And somebody's replied to it, well, that's just Marvel plus.
Oh, God.
Oh, dearie dear. Right,
we could just do a podcast in this, you know.
Derek, I've got loads more, mate. I've got loads more. Did you want me to read another one?
I've got one here.
Right, go.
If anyone speaks ill of Brendan for any longer, send me your address and we'll see if you'll still be speaking ill of our manager. That was sent in September, by the way, so that never lasted very long.
Right, well, here's one that was just sent last week on the news that the vast majority of them thought that Rafa Benitez was actually going to be announced as their new manager. This was sent at the weekend. If Rafael Benitez is not announced as the new Celtic manager by Monday, I demand that Hoopy the Huddle Hound is put down. Oh my God, right, hold on. Yeah, I've got another one here, you ready?
Right.
After the cup win yesterday, I promised myself and my wife that I wouldn't let Sevco annoy me, yet I opened up today's paper and they are mentioned 57 times compared to Celtic's 53, and we won the cup. Right.
In its last decade of existence, the Rangers FC PLC became an organised crime network designed to distort Scottish football. They did it all. And one of the replies is, codename H.
Right, here we go. Here we go. Lafferty is a wee rat, so close to throwing a coin at the fucker. But I'm not paid till next week, though. And somebody's reply is, that is the most Scottish tweet ever.
I made Kieran pay the cat with cash at the cinema because the tickets came to £16.90. An absolute no chance I was having that on my bank statement. Was honestly tempted to tell them to take the student discount back off and charge me full price.
Hey, here's one. Two words. Not good enough. that's me, mate. That's my seven favourites of the year. I just, again, whoever does the Kerry Fail Twitter site, keep it up, because you really do give us a laugh. It's absolutely hilarious.
I think we might do a post kind of season podcast just reading them out, you know.
Absolutely brilliant, eh? Brilliant.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll have more next year as well, so.
It was that one. Johnny Hayes, fuck off, you Deadpool looking wee prick. And six penalties in two games, both today, one and another. Absolutely brilliant. It really was. I was pissing myself laughing the other night when I was sitting looking through them all. It really was. So brilliant stuff.
So we'll try and come down from that hilarity in a minute, and we'll go and do a classic match.
And there it is. The final whistle's gone. Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup.
So, Dave, you have got a game against Dundee Tesco, haven't you?
That's right, Derek. I thought actually that I would put this in as a wee tribute to Dundee United when they were, you know, they were actually relevant And, you know, I had to go back quite some time, all the way back to 1987, actually, before, you know, until I found that Dundee United were relevant. And they actually did have a lot of international players in their team. But, you know, as we know, Derek, Dundee United have been, you know, kept down in the Championship after failing to beat St Mirren in the, you know, the Premiership playoff. You know, and I'm sure, like myself, there were a lot of Rangers supporters out there who were absolutely pissing themselves laughing at that one. Get it right fucking up, yees, and yees get everything that you deserve. Fuck yees all.
Didn't you hold back, Dave?
No.
Down, down, Dundee United, staying down, down, Dundee United, staying down, down, Dundee United, staying down.
Like I said, Derek, I am going back now to where the date, Derek, was December the 27th, 1986.
You sure it was 1987?
And Rangers on that day lined up with Chris Woodson goal, Stuart Munro, Terry Butcher, Dave McPherson, and making his debut, Derek, after making a you know, a move from the English Premiership, or the English Division One as it was known back then, was England international Graham Roberts. This was a huge move for Rangers, bringing him up. Also in midfield, of course, Graham Souness, absolutely fantastic. Derek Ferguson, Ian Durant, Davy Cooper on the wing, and up front for Rangers, McCoist and Fleck. Dundee United had quite a few famous names in their team, of course. Ex-Rangers goalkeeper Billy Thompson, Maurice Malpass was playing, Eamon Bannon with hair that I've never ever seen before, because I can never remember Eamon Bannon being completely bald. Dave Neary, Bowman, Jim McAnally, Kinnaird, and Paul Sturrock up front, who was a fantastic player for Dundee United. So this was going to be a really tough game for Rangers. Rangers playing in one of my favourite kits. One of the first strips that I ever owned was the Umbro C.R. Smith Rangers top with the sort of round neck on it. It was a beautiful strip. Rangers were wearing that. And in the early stages of the match, you could see that Rangers were trying to get Davy Cooper on the ball as much as possible. He was really in his prime at this stage for Rangers, Derek. Now, unfortunately for me, I was only 11 years old when this game took place, and I can only remember Davy Cooper in flashes, really. And this is how it's great for me, looking back these games, just to see how good the guy was. And I think it was Archie McPherson was the commentator, and even he basically said that Davy Cooper was one of, if not the best winger in Europe at this stage. Now, you didn't make statements like that in the in the TV, and Davy Cooper just looked absolutely sensational, but as did quite a few of the other players. But Rangers were spreading the ball about from left to right, back to Terry Butcher, then into Graham Souness, Souness to Davy Cooper, a 1-2, Davy Cooper with Ali McCoist runs through and shoots, but it was, picked up by the goalkeeper. Some fantastic play there by Davy Cooper early on, it really was. Dundee United then had two chances, both from Paul Sturrock. First of all, a left-hand cross, which was cleared by Terry Butcher, back out to Page, who shoots weakly into the hands of Woods, but that was still making it 0-0. Great play then by Rangers, Graham Souness to Ali McCoist at the edge of the box, and a 1-2 with Fleck. Then on to Davy Cooper, who was at the corner of the box, takes on three players, sidesteps them all, plays a fantastic through ball to Ali McCoist, who gets his toe on the end, but it's a great save by Billy Thompson. But absolutely sensational play by Davy Cooper. It's just, the ball just seemed to stick to his feet, and he just sort of bounced and glided past them as if they weren't there. Absolutely fantastic play by Davy Cooper. But at that point, it was still 0-0. But on the 24th minute, a bit of controversy because there was like three crunching tackles in the centre circle, and then the ball gets played to Graham Souness, who runs to the edge of the box, and there is a swipe by one of the Dundee United midfielders on Souness, and the referee gives a free kick just outside the box. Looks as if Davy Cooper's about to step up and lash at it, but Davy Cooper runs up and then just flicks it to the side to Graham Souness, who thunders the shot low and into the back of the net. Everybody, you know, the whole stadium erupts, but the linesman flags for offside. Now, this was before the days of interference with play, Derek. This is before it all came through, and there were one of the Rangers players was offside, but absolutely nowhere near the ball, nowhere near, you know, where the ball was going to end up. So if it had been, you know, it would have stood because it wasn't interfering with play. But unfortunately, back then it was, and it was given offside. So Rangers really unlucky there. Not long after that, Ali McCoy's picks it up, he flicks it on to Robert Fleck. He runs at the defence. He's just about to pull the trigger, but there's a last ditch tackle there by, I think it was Maurice Malpass. It was a great chance for Rangers. Then Graham Souness in midfield, twisting and turning left and right, pass out to Graham Roberts. A long cross, sort of high pass into the box, and Ali McCoy, all he had to do was just get it on target. The defender completely missed it, but for some reason McCoy puts it past the post. McCoy had a bit of a shocker in the first half, actually, by Rangers. He really should have scored that one. It went past the post, but it was still 0-0 at half time. The funny thing about it, though, listening back to it, Derek, was it let you hear the half time scores, and the biggest cheer of the afternoon came when they were announcing the scores and Celtic were getting beat by Clydebank, and Clydebank at the time, so it was quite good to hear that. But the second half started, and Rangers were spraying the ball about again, and we only had to wait 3 minutes into the second half for Rangers to take the lead.
Ian Ferguson. Here's Roberts going in. Roberts going through for Rangers. And there's Sanchez, yes! He's done it! Ali McCoy from a brilliant run by Roberts. It looked as if the Englishman was going to get it himself. And everybody seemed to get out of his way. Well, initially he did, and through he went, saw his face, the McCoy's with them, the danger's still there, and the Rangers striker did it very coolly eventually.
Graham Roberts, who picks up the loose ball in midfield. Now, he was playing in defence. He'd got forward. It was a loose ball. He managed to slide in there, get the ball. He kept running, runs into the box. We thought he was going to score on his debut. He shoots. Billy Thompson saves, but he can only parry it as far as Ali McCoy, who does what Ali McCoy does and slots it into the back of the net to make it 1-0 to Rangers. At this point, Derek, it was just all Rangers. A fantastic move. Terry Butcher to Robert Fleck. He runs to the edge of the box and slips the ball to Graham Souness, who shoots low, and a fantastic save by Billy Thompson out for the corner. Davy Cooper then takes the corner out to Souness on the edge of the box. He then tries this incredible sort of dink lob for the edge of the box. Really unlucky. Billy Thompson manages to get his hands to it. It would have been an absolutely sensational goal. Just, you know, some of the things that even Graham Souness was trying to do, it was just as cool as a cucumber in midfield. I think he would have tried anything, and it would have probably came off. It was brilliant. But then on the 64th minute, Rangers managed to get their second goal of the game.
Butcher with it. And it goes to Fleck, and he scored! The simplest of goals. Robert Fleck. And the young man thoroughly deserves that goal. He has walked like a Trojan. Built like one too, isn't he? Yes. Simple, simple goal from the reliable and accurate long passing of Butcher. Through he went. The cover wasn't there. And pow. 2-0. 19 minutes of the second half gone.
Terry Butcher, who takes the free kick inside the Rangers' half. Long ball to the edge of the box. Ali McCoist jumps up, flicks it on with his head, straight to Robert Fleck, half volley, bang, past Billy Thompson into the goal to make it 2-0 to Rangers. Simple stuff, but a fantastic finish by Robert Fleck. He was playing some fantastic stuff, Robert Fleck. Not long after that, Stuart Munro at left back, up the wing, plays the ball up the wing to Ali McCoist on the left wing. He puts a fantastic cross across the goal to Derek Ferguson at the back post. Really should have scored, but it was a good tackle. But he manages to get it back, puts it across the goal. Robert Fleck in at the back post, just off target. Really unlucky with that one. Then on the 78th minute, Ali McCoist latches onto a poor clearance and thunders a volley just over the bar. On the 80th minute then, Davy Cooper with the corner, headed back by Derek Ferguson to Robert Fleck, and he volleys just over at the back post. Really unlucky again. Rangers just completely in control. Graham Souness completely controlling the match. Absolutely amazing, Souness. He really was. And then in the 85th minute, Ian Durant picks up the ball, runs towards the defence, touches the ball to Ferguson. He shoots and just tipped over by Billy Thompson. From that corner, Davy Cooper puts the ball over to Terry Butcher, who puts it back across the goal. Back to Davy Cooper again, floats it in and then headed just wide again by Terry Butcher. That's how the game finished, 2-0 to Rangers. Dundee United were never in it. For me, I absolutely loved watching it back, Derek, and watching Graham Souness, but especially Davy Cooper. Absolutely sensational Davy Cooper was. It's going to make me look back more at games from that era, games that I can just about remember and no more, but just some fantastic players. And the great thing about that game was there was an interview with Graham Roberts after the game, and you know, speaking so highly about Rangers and so highly about Scottish football at the time, and you know, just delighted to be here. He was a star at that point, Derek, really, you know, experienced player, highly regarded down in England. So the fact that he came to us was a huge, huge bonus for us. You know, another big name player. And that set us up that game for the Old Firm game the following week, which I'll keep for, you know, the start of the pod next, you know, next season. I'll do that game because I've actually watched that game back as well. So again, if you get the chance to go back and watch it, please do. Just to see the likes of Graham Souness and, of course, Davy Cooper, who was absolutely sensational.
And there's no point asking if I'd seen the game because I was only just turned one at that point. So
okay. Well, I was 11, Derek, so as I say, I can just remember Davy Cooper playing, but only in flashes, you know, thinking about somebody like the free kick we scored against Aberdeen. And I actually remember Davy Cooper more for playing for Scotland than I did for Rangers for some reason, but it's great to go back and watch it because he was absolutely sensational. He really, really was. And the fact that you hear the commentators going on about him as well, how good he was, it shows you what a quality player that he was. So again, you get the chance to go back and watch it, please do. It was I thoroughly enjoyed watching it. It was brilliant.
So that's the classic match for this episode. We'll be back next episode with another one.
Yes.
So we'll go on now into the news. So a few bits and pieces as ever to talk about here. First one is that there's work getting done in and around Ibrox just now with the new hybrid pitch getting installed. That pitch was basically ripped up, I think, the next day after the Old Firm game, wasn't it? So
yeah,
that's getting done, and cladding is getting installed on the roof of the Broomlin and Copeland, as well as the yellow cladding on the sides is getting completely redone, and it's now proper white cladding rather than the tiled old yellow. So
yeah. Excellent.
It'll look fresher next season.
Yep.
Talking of next season, 43,000 season tickets have been renewed so far. That's 5,000 up on the same point last season. And we've obviously got 13,000 on the waiting list as well, which is...
quite incredible, yep.
Just incredible, and no chance of me getting a season ticket now, even if I could go. But
I think next season, when we go back to the games and that, Derek, it's going to have to be the buying them from the club and sitting away up in the gods. But as I say, it's great for the club again, Derek. It really is. It's like going back to the way that I remember it in the 90s, where there'd been such a big waiting list. That shows you that, you know, the fans are desperate to go and support the club, and it shows how well the club are playing at the moment. So no, it's great.
Yep. Next one is, we had two bounce games there in May as well. On the 14th of May, we drew four each with amateur side Viewfield Rovers. Stephen Gerrard played, he actually scored one and missed a penalty also. And on the same day, we had another bounce game, and it was between us and Chelsea, where Graham Dorns, Jack Anick and Greg Doherty all featured, as did Billy Gilmour for Chelsea.
Oh, really?
So it's good to see him back up here. We unfortunately lost 1-0, though, so...
All right, okay.
Yeah. Next piece of news here is, convicted fraudster Rafa Rizvi is fighting a claim with us through civil courts for £200,000 after claiming he's owed money for work he'd done for us 6 years ago. He claims that he was tasked to find Middle Eastern investors through the Chuck Green side of things. There was an initial claim of £400,000 in 2013 for a company Rizvi worked for. He's a convicted fraudster.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I need to say there, isn't it?
It's, Derek, a bit going for what happened to us sort of, you know, 6 years ago. Is it any wonder that we had people like this being associated with the club?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's not surprising at all. We just need to get all these people to fuck completely. We really do. We just have to wait and see what happens with that one.
Yep. Now it's about players leaving so far. With Miles Bierman, Kyle Bradley, Scott Gray, J-Mac, and as mentioned in the previous pod, Liam Burt are all leaving the academy. The good thing is, though, we've set up the academy properly, and now part of the actions of any players leaving the academy is we've set up action plans for them, and also to try and help them maximise their chances of finding another club. So
yep,
we're doing it the correct way now, which is good to see, because a lot of youngsters don't make it, even to kind of even Scottish Premiership, even Championship level. So it's good to see that we're trying to help these youngsters.
Yeah, the most notable one there being Miles Bierman. Derek, I don't know if there's what he's going to be doing, but I know that he's Maltese, is that correct?
Yeah, so right.
I'm sure there'll be he'll have a number of clubs that will be interested in him. Certainly when he came in and played for us, Derek, the team wasn't playing well, but never disgraced himself at any point, did he? Always looked, you know, quite a decent player. So, yeah, we just wish all these young players all the best, and hopefully they find another club.
Yep. Next one here is Lee Wallace has confirmed, or rather, Lee Wallace's wife has confirmed via social media that he's leaving the club. On the back of that, a Rangers fan launched a petition calling for Rangers to give Wallace a testimonial.
No.
Aye, no.
No.
I think we've made our feelings about Lee Wallace pretty clear, so there's no point really going over that.
The final straw for me, Derek, or not the final straw, but the final thing for me that I knew that he wouldn't have anything to do with Rangers again, is the fact that we've been playing the likes of Andy Halliday and that at left back. Surely the manager, regardless what had happened, if he'd had a totally 100% fit Lee Wallace ready to play, would play him. But it speaks volumes for me that Andy Halliday was getting in at left back, as was John Flanagan when we had an actual recognised left back there. So I wasn't surprised to hear that whatsoever.
No. Joe Worrell has confirmed that he's going back to Nottingham Forest after his loan had finished. Nowhere near the £10 million player that they apparently turned down for him. Started off fairly decent for me, but he was certainly no better than Katic. And ultimately, I know Katic had some off-field issues with his dad and all that kind of thing, but it did affect him, I think, getting dropped like that. And he had some absolute clangers, and really not what we're after whatsoever.
Yeah, no, it did, Derek. There was a few games it did show, you know,
glimpses that he was, you know, he could have been a good player, but as you say, there was a lot of times that he lacked concentration, gave away a few really bad goals, and as I say, I think Mikata just came in at the end of the season and, you know, started to show the promise that he showed at the start of the season, and all the fans really like Katic as well, Derek, so I think that even if he did make any mistakes, you know, there's no many players that get forgiven by the Rangers support, but I think he is a player that would do so. Here's just hoping that he comes back to be, you know, continue where he's left off at the end of the season. But Derek, we've got to thank all these players that came in on loan and did try, and you've got to say that to the likes of Joe Worrell. You hope that it does work out for him, but there's none of us are really sad that he's not, you know, that he's not staying. But just good luck to him.
Yep. And the last one before we get to a bit of shocking news here, DeMarcus Beasley is hanging up his boots after 20 years in the game. So
yep.
Whatever he goes on to do, I hope it's successful.
I think he will be. I think he'll end up being an ambassador for, you know, football in the US. I think he'll go in just like other sort of ex-players that I've done that have been successful at club level and international level for USA, like Carlos Bocanegra and Claudio Reyna and things like that. He'll get a job, no problem. I think he'll always be fondly remembered for his goal against Lyon in the Champions mm-hmm. League when we won that game. So yes, again, another player, you know, hope everyone works out for him.
Yep. And the last piece of footballing news here is Graham Dorns and Ryan Jack and their respective wives went out to Ibiza for the post-season break. There was a video showing Ryan Jack completely out of the game. You know, a grown man in drunken shocker. You know, a guy gets drunk, big wow. But more worryingly, Dorans was the victim of an assault where he was knocked unconscious after what appears to be a bottle attack. Happened outside the Highlander Bar in Ibiza. Unknown who the assailant is. You know, you could argue the fact that it's really not the wisest place for two Scottish football players to go to. Ibiza at the kind of just before the height of the season, but really at the end of the day they should be able to go where they want without getting attacked or anything like that. Now that's us had physical attacks on our players and our assistant manager this year, as well as several verbal attacks on our current and ex-players. I mean, we're not fair game, and I think it's just, again, it stems back to the Scottish Cup final in 2016 for me. We were seen as fair game on and off the park ever since then, and it's there's been nothing done to abate that. And I know that the likes of the attack on the assistant manager down in Leeds was, you know, an American guy apparently,
yeah.
But it's still no the point. It's, you know, our players once again getting attacked.
I agree 100% with you, Derek, with the fact that you should be able to go wherever you want. The one thing that I will say is that if I was a high profile Rangers player, I wouldn't be anywhere near Ibiza at this point, especially in that area, right? That's not me condoning the actions by far. It's definitely not, because these people are absolute scum. Again, if I was out drinking with all my mates and I was to see two Celtic players, the last thing on my mind would be to go there and bloody try and hit one of them. Do you know what I mean? But I think that common sense should be used by, especially in the current climate, Derek. I think that, you know, sense should be used. The two of them would have been easily recognised in that area, Ibiza as well. You know, it's I was quite shocked when I heard that they were out like that. I'm not caring about Jack getting gassed, Derek. That's, you know, absolutely nothing. It's at the end of the season. He's no playing. He's on holiday. So fucking what? We all get gassed on holiday. But the whole Graham Dorans thing, I just wish that he hadn't been near, Derek. I really do. But again, I'm not condoning it in the slightest. These people are an absolute scum, and, you know, they should be able to go, you know, for a drink if they want to. But just surprised that he was there, knowing the sort of crowd and the sort of clientele that would have been there, wouldn't he have recognised him? So I was quite shocked at that one.
Yeah. So teen gets penis stuck in a drain pipe and has to be freed with circular saw.
Okay.
A horny teenager had to be freed with a circular saw after getting his penis stuck inside a toilet pipe. The randy 16-year-old lad put his member inside the waist-height metal pipework at his home in Johor, Malaysia, on the 20th of May.
What? Why?
But midway through the bizarre tryst, his privates swelled up so much they became stuck inside the grey alloy tube, which was uncovered and protruding outwards from the wall.
What? Right.
The embarrassed lad desperately tried to free himself for over an hour before finally shouting for his housemates for help. His pals then called the emergency services. Senior fire officer from the rescue station said that they received an emergency call from the victim's residence around 10 p.m. on May the 20th. He said the metal pipe was about 6 inches in length and with a thickness of 5 millimetres and is no longer used. The fireman had to cut the pipe first. The rescuers brought them with a metal cutting saw, which they used to manually cut the pipe, hoping to free the boy. But his penis remained wedged inside, forcing them to remove the whole length of pipe, which appeared to be around 30 millimetre wide.
Okay.
He was taken to hospital, and there was video from an hour later showing sparks flying with the boy writhing uncomfortably while medics and a fireman used a huge circular saw to remove the pipes.
So he's went to the toilet, he's seen a pipe sticking out and thought, I'm going to stick my cock in that.
Quite possibly, aye.
Fucking unbelievable, so it is.
The case is now resolved with the expertise of the hospital and the victim was stable. The incident causes privates to be swollen, but he only had minor injuries. The fire service advised other residents to seal off the pipe to prevent the incident happening again.
That's one damn sexy pipe, that's all I can say.
That gives a new meaning to laying pipe, doesn't it? So on that note, that wraps up this episode and this season of the iReady podcast. As ever, if you want to check us out on all our social media sites, you can head over to our website, which is iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com. There you can find links to all our social network sites, as I said, like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or iTunes and Spotify and Podbean accounts as well. So, Dave, guess what?
What?
I'm going on holiday soon.
Oh, that's shocking. You're always away on holiday, so you're an absolute nightmare.
I've got less than 3 weeks now till I go on holiday.
Oh, well. Just remember, and don't leave your iPod behind this time, eh?
I'll try not. All this time. We come a long, long way.
Right, I think we should wrap it there.
Well, I think we should, because I think my singing just woke my daughter up, so.
Right, yes. Derek, it's been enjoyable. It's been a great season for us. We keep saying it every year. Hopefully we might get some more guests on next year. We've had a couple this year, so hopefully we'll do the same next year, just for a wee bit of variety. But it's been very enjoyable. We've been able to have our say, whether or not people out there have agreed with us or not. I know there's been a few that haven't, but again, this is just our view. We're just two run-of-the-mill Rangers supporters talking about the club that we love, and we just hope that everybody out there enjoys listening to us and keeps on listening to us in the future.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for listening, everyone. Just obviously, we're going to take a month and a bit off now. We'll try and be back for a pre-season podcast as well for season 7. I forgot to mention earlier that we enter into the second round of qualifiers for the Europa League this year, which is good, and we'll also be seeded. The draw for that is on the 18th of June, so you know, you'll all be aware of that anyway, and the first game of that is going to be the 25th of July, so I'm not sure if there's games before that or not, so we will be back before then with a pre-season pod.
Excellent.
So, all it's got to say is thanks for listening and goodbye.
Yes, thanks for listening, folks, and have a good summer. See you later.
Bye-bye.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go. Brace yourself.